It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Much love to everybody listening and locked in all over North America. The show gets started every weeknight at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. So whether you're on your way home from work, you're at home already, you're getting the money, you're making the money, you're delivering, you're chopping up, you're protecting, you're helping, you're saving, you're holding it down. Thank you for listening. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us in New York City. What a big... Mike McCarthy sticking around as Cowboys head coach. Right before we went to break, we heard from Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots. Said, I am not Bill Belichick. Earlier today in this show, we talked about the gyms. Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, unfortunately, terrible news. We found out, and he's still alive, but we found out last month he almost died, almost had an overdose. This is someone who's had a history, unfortunately, of drug and alcohol abuse, a DUI, and he went to rehab in 2014. The NFL suspended and fined him. Jim Dolan, the owner of the Knicks and the Rangers, he's being accused of sexual assault. This is just wild stuff. We had a big trade today in the NBA. Pascal Siakam, no longer a member of the Toronto Raptors. Pascal Siakam being traded to the Indiana Pacers. And even right now, speaking of basketball, the Raptors are destroying the Heat 82-55. None of the players have come in yet. Quite frankly, the Raptors got Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, and 3 first-round picks. So, no players showed up on the Raptors and just decided to whoop ass tonight. The Heat just suck. Anyway, I'll be here with you for one more hour. You can always listen to the show, all 4 hours of it, via the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can get locked in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. You can go ahead and find that. CBSSportsRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 158. You can listen there. Hey, by the way, the station is also available via smart speaker. All you have to do is ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I also deliver to you a new top six list, and we took a look at the top six coaching vacancies in the NFL. There are 7 vacancies. Sorry to the Carolina Panthers. I think your owner sucks. And so I also think your quarterback is, may not be that good. And so at number 6, I gave you the Seahawks. At number 5, I gave you the Tennessee Titans. At number 4, I gave you the Raiders. At number 3, I gave you the Commanders. At number 2, I gave you the Chargers. And at number 1, I told you the Falcons were numero uno on my list. Their owner, Arthur Blank, is patient. They have a lot of excellent offensive weapons to work with. They have great defenders on every single level. They just need a quarterback, and they got a draft pick they can use to trade or get a quarterback. And I think the owner, I think he's a good dude. I think he'll have patience. Even the owner, Arthur Blank, said, yeah, our quarterback sucked. We need one. Oh, yeah, computer froze. Welcome to 2024. We'll get to Arthur Blank momentarily. Anyway, Arthur Blank, he is a good NFL owner. And Jerry Jones, I guess you could call him a great owner. He's probably the most important owner. He drives forth all the money. He's moving franchises, encouraging teams to go to California like the Chargers, like the Rams. Jerry Jones is what you say is a moneymaker. He's a great marketer, but is he a great owner from a football perspective? I mean, the Cowboys can be competitive. They haven't been championship competitive. You could say that Jerry Jones has been a meddler, and we know that his sons have helped out a little bit more over the past few years, but the word came down the pipe that Jerry Jones is going to keep Mike McCarthy as the Dallas Cowboys head coach. It doesn't matter about the disaster that we just saw against the Green Bay Packers. He is keeping Mike McCarthy. It was only a few days ago on Sunday, post-game, that Jerry Jones basically said, man, I got no answer. I have zero answers after our loss.
I don't have any thoughts about the reasons why or anything to do with the coaching, anything to do about the players. I want to give Green Bay a lot of compliments and credit.
When will you sit down, Mike, and kind of talk about everything?
I haven't thought about that.
He hasn't thought about when he's going to think about anything. But Jerry Jones, he did put out a statement today. He said, I'm bringing Mike McCarthy back. But let's listen to one more comment before I read you his latest statement. This is also Jerry Jones post-game. He was the most shocked that he's ever been after a playoff loss.
This is one of my most surprises since I've been involved in sport, period. So this is that degree. I know how disappointed everybody is. It's on my comment. On a personal basis, I'm forward. And so not that there's any world's smallest violin for me being forward. I get that. I understand that. And I know where the responsibility starts and ends. And I've got that real clear, and I know that. But that's not the point. The point is that I'm disappointed for everybody.
Disappointed for everybody. Well, I guess he ain't that damn disappointed in Mike McCarthy because he's bringing him back. And I will not read this in Jerry Jones' voice. I will read this in my own voice. Jerry Jones has released a statement. I believe this team is very close and capable of achieving our ultimate goals, and the best step forward for us will be with Mike McCarthy as our head coach. There's a great benefit to continuing the team's progress under Mike's leadership as our coach. Specifically, there are many layers of success that have occurred this season as a result of Mike's approach leading the team, both with individual players, with our team collectively. Mike has the highest regular season winning percentage of any head coach in Cowboys history, and we will dedicate ourselves in partnership with him to translating that into reaching our postseason goals. Mike's career demonstrated postseason success at a high level. We have great confidence that that can continue. Further, our loss on Sunday is shared by everybody, not just Coach McCarthy. The players, the coaches, our front office, me. There's accountability for our results. I am accountable for our results. The lens we use to view and evaluate Coach McCarthy is holistic. While we are all disappointed, I'm 100% supportive of him as our coach. We will start our process of review and decision making regarding everything that impacts our team and roster. And while we're not going to address specific players and extensions or free agents at this point, it deserves our deepest review and consideration, and it'll get it. So, Dak Prescott, ain't no money coming your way. Not now, at least. You probably got to wait a few months. Is Dak going to be on a hot seat? I don't think so. I think Dak Prescott is going to get an extension for the same reasons that you just heard, not from me, but from Jerry Jones explain. He wants continuity. He doesn't want to bring somebody else in. You know what this leads me to believe? That he didn't want to necessarily give Dan Quinn the job. That he's been blowing smoke up everybody's behind the past few years when he has thrown Mike McCarthy under the bus. When he sat down in these press conferences and these interviews on The Fan in Dallas and told everybody, Mike McCarthy isn't going to be the head coach forever. We got other guys. Like, he's like, we got Dan Quinn upstairs, Mike. So here's some fire down your back. Like, get your job together. Get it together. How pathetic. Like, you had a chance to go ahead and make your mark, so you're going to run it back and do what? If the name of the game is to go out there and win a championship, what happened? Did you not feel confident that somebody else would come through? If you wanted a Bill Belichick, did you not feel that Bill Belichick was going to be able to help? It's just wild that he does all this talking and yapping throughout the year. And when there is an opportunity to make a move, you don't make one. I guess Jerry Jones didn't get the memo from somebody like Michael Irvin. Because after the loss, Michael Irvin, oh, he wanted to fire everybody. Listen to what he said.
Every damn where, all across this country, all across the league, they stood up to defend their city and defend their team, except in the city that deserved it the most. Except the team that's most recognizable and deserved it the most. What do? When all you have don't understand what they have. When I got here, I understood the men before me. They built the Dallas Cowboys. They made this America's team. They put a championship on the table before I got here. My job while I was here is to match what they have done to this. They built it. They handed it to me. Put my damn championship on the table. That's all we ask. Put your damn championship on the table and you couldn't do it. All this.
Oh, man. Hey, Ryan, what are we going to do? Are we getting an angry Michael Irvin part two? Like, is he going to yell at Jerry Jones? I know that's not happening, right?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, he said cut everybody. So I think at this point, I don't think anyone's off limits, including Jerry right now. If you're Michael Irvin, he's probably seeing red.
Yeah, if you're Michael Irvin, if you're going to come through and drop that video where it seems like you are about, I don't know, 2 seconds away from a heart attack, you got to come back and say, they should have fired everybody. You got to come through with more fire, man. You got to bring more heat. Come on, Michael, don't leave us waiting for it. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I think we got, is this Bernard, I think, in California? Hey, Bernard, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, JR? How you doing today, man?
I'm amazing. What's up?
Hey, man, I called a couple of weeks ago, and I told you the Cowboys was going to be one and done. Just catching in my chips, pretty much it.
Okay, I'm not impressed, but continue on.
Anyways, I just want to get your take, Green Bay and the Niners, since, you know, that's my local team right here, the Niners. What do you think about that?
Well, we're going to dive real deep into that game this coming Friday. I guess my question to you is, you're here on the airwaves. You may not be here the rest of the week. What do you think about the game?
You know, I think that Jordan Love, you know, you've heard it. Everybody's talking about how he's playing phenomenal and all whatnot. If Green Bay gets a head start like they did with the Cowboys, I don't see Shanahan coming back from that. Just like, you know, he hasn't had a winning game where he's behind. He just hasn't.
Okay.
And I think that's it. If the Green Bay gets going, I don't think Shanahan has a game plan for that.
Okay.
As simple as that, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Bernard, for calling from California. I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, if I just have to look at the teams out on the field, the 49ers have more experience. The 49ers probably have the best position of offensive weapons in the entire NFL. And so to think that the game plan, if I'm behind playing against a novice rookie quarterback here in the postseason, my thought process is to probably give the ball to McCaffrey. I don't know how much of a game plan you want. But no, man, I'm not prepared to down the Niners if they should be in a losing position. Green Bay did a good job putting Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys into the space right now where we had to think about his job. You know, I thought about this early this morning because, Ryan, what was it, yesterday, 2 days ago, you know, you and I sat here and I said, man, Wednesday's going to come. I think they're going to give him the boot on Wednesday. There was no press conference by Mike McCarthy. It was scheduled. There was no Jerry Jones, his son Steven. Nobody spoke. Nobody did anything. And he's still got a job. So I thought about that all day, and he's still here. What do you think about the Cowboys keeping him around?
Number one, kudos to you nailing the dates, at least in terms of when a decision would be made. So half right, take it.
Yeah, right.
For sure. I mean, I think this just highlights that the fact that Jerry cares more about himself than he does about winning. Because if he cared about winning, you see the names right off the jump that are available for free without trading for anyone. Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, all super successful, all way more successful than Mike McCarthy has, especially in recent years. But any of those four you hire would be the star of the show, right? If Bill Belichick comes to town and, let's say, gets the Cowboys to the Super Bowl next year, we are raving about Bill, not talking about Jerry. Same thing is true with any other coach you hire out of those at least big four. And so it seems like Jerry rather have control, and he rather be the star of the show, because Mike McCarthy's not going to get a lot of credit, rather than making the right move, which would be upgrading it at head coach. But thus, in doing so and bringing in a big name, he himself would lose a lot of the attention.
You think Jerry Jones, he got too much ego for this, huh, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's rather wild, because Jerry Jones has openly talked about, I don't know how much more time I got. And so won a championship. And I understand continuity. I understand continuity if you got a coach and hasn't been embarrassed twice by the 49ers, now got embarrassed by a first-year playoff quarterback. Like that, you just heard Hickey name some of the names. Like, try something different. Bring in Vrabel. I understand continuity, but this dude, Mike McCarthy, has had enough time. I think he's had enough chances. Last Sunday was the last straw, if you ask me. What's the harm in bringing in Vrabel? Well, he going to give you a piece of his mind? Well, what's the harm in bringing in Belichick? He's going to give you a piece of his mind? And so, yes, that might or probably has a big something to do with it. He does not want to be pushed. He wants to be the boss. He wants to be the boss hog. He wants to run the show. And this is probably going to be towards his detriment. I really think they're wasting a year. What, the Dallas Cowboys is going to bounce back with the same old thing? What's going to be different? I think every now and then you need a fresh voice and opportunity. And I'll give them credit. We got a whole off season in front of us. But where you could have made the biggest mark and the biggest change, they punted. 855-212-4CBS. Mac is calling us from Houston, Texas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Mac.
Hey, first of all, I want to say thank you for letting me on. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Hey,
what's
Mac,
up?
Hey, man, I just want to say, you know, that Jerry Jones, like the gentleman said earlier, he wants to be in full control. Yeah, it's his team. But Bill Belichick, I believe, was too much of a big ego. Bill Belichick likes to run his team. He likes to have his paws on everything in creating this team, and I think that would have been too much for Belichick, because with the Jones clashing with the way Belichick liked to run things, I'm not sure if that would even worked out anyway, because Belichick likes full control. And, you know, of course, he'd have been to 7 Super Bowls with it, but Jerry was about to have it, and here we go down the road again with the same old stuff. If anything, the Cowboys are going to make a step backwards, because they may not have Dan Quinn. He did have a good season, even though the defense couldn't stop nothing this last game. So I expect Dan Quinn to be gone. The defense got to relearn a whole other coordinator. They'll be stuck with the same offensive coordinator probably, which is the head coach. And, you know, if anything, they'll be way, way less better than they were this year.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Mac, for calling from Houston. Yeah, we discussed this. You can go ahead and take a look at the Dallas Cowboys and Belichick. And we said this from, you know, when Belichick was let go. That would have been a match made in hell. Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones, I said that. I think there's too much ego. There would have been too much ego in one room. And so now you have somebody in Jerry Jones who says, hey, let's go ahead and keep this status quo. I'm going to keep Mike McCarthy here. I want to just maintain some continuity. And what change they make after this? I don't know if there's going to be a big enough one that will make any type of a damn difference. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What are your thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys keeping Mike McCarthy as their head coach? Good idea, bad idea? When we come back on the other side, I'll get to more of your calls. And then I want to provide you an update on someone who is not going away. There's a Philadelphia Eagle who hasn't made up his mind yet as to whether or not he will retire. I need to let you know that you need to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm going to get to your calls. We're going to talk about this Philadelphia Eagle on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Right before we went to break, we talked about Mike McCarthy returning as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones talked about his success. He said that he had success before he was here with the Dallas Cowboys. He says that we are all accountable. It's not just Mike McCarthy. And that, hey, we also value continuity. We think given the success that we have had, especially with him having the highest winning percentage as any head coach in Dallas Cowboys history, that he deserves a chance to run through. Mike McCarthy is running into the final year of his contract. And if I got to read some of the tea leaves, he ain't going to get no extension. And I just don't know what changes are going to happen to move them towards Super Bowl contention next year. Mike McCarthy, I think, is just a lame duck in the truest sense of the word. Somebody else who might be gone or might be staying sooner than later, I have no idea, is Jason Kelce. Like, we know on Monday night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went out there and they took the lunch money from the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni might be on the chopping block. Maybe, maybe not. He's still the coach as of right now. And then we got a report immediately after that Jason Kelce, you know, let folks know in the locker room that he was done, that this was it, that after multiple years of saying, I'm going to retire and then coming back, this year he reportedly told his teammates that he is done for good. Except for when he went on his New Heights podcast. And Jason Kelce says, I ain't make no decisions about my future yet.
You know, Nick kind of gave me an opportunity to talk. I didn't announce what I was doing on purpose, despite, I guess, what's been leaked to the media. I just don't think you're in a position after a game like that to really make that decision. I just don't. There's too much emotion in the moment to really fully grasp that decision. I'm not trying to be dramatic and continue to draw this thing out. I'm really not. It's just something that I think, you know, when it's time to officially announce, you know, what's happening in the future, it'll be done in a way that's, you know, definitive and pays respect to a lot of people and individuals that have meant a lot to me and has led to the career I've had. You know, I don't think that it would be respectful or even accurate to be able to do that right after a game like that.
Yeah.
But I did address the team and pretty much said the same thing that I just said to you, which is, you know, I got belief in every single one of you guys, you know, cherish the moment you have in this league. A lot of guys like, you know, if that is your last game, I feel sorry for you. And I'm like, you don't feel sorry for me, motherfucker. I had a
hell yeah, brother.
Uh-uh. You got a little emotional there at the end. Sounds like he's done, right? And so I guess Jalen Hurts or somebody cons him to come back. And so Howie Roseman says, man, take some of this money. Please come back. I guess the door isn't closed. I believe he's probably going to take a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, just to see how he feels. What's the rush on making a decision? There really isn't one, is there? Not at all. Speaking of somebody who's been playing a long-ass time, and this stat is ridiculous. I had to do a double take when I looked at it. Right now on ABC, and ABC has started this this program now. They got NBA games on ABC in the week on national television. The Los Angeles Lakers are leading the Dallas Mavericks 50-45. We know LeBron James is the star, the big name. LeBron James has 9 points. Okay, no big deal there, right? Kyrie Irving is out here trying to light up the world. Not really. He has 3 points. Luka Doncic has 18. But this is a stat that they popped up and they shared on the broadcast. And Ryan Hickey, you tell me what your thoughts are. LeBron James has played against 35% of all players in NBA history. That is the stat that they put up on ABC. LeBron James has played against 35% of all players in NBA history. Isn't that nuts?
What? How is that? We celebrated, was it 2 years ago, the 75th anniversary? So now what? This is, the league is 77 years old?
Yeah, I think so, 77.
35?
Oh. 35% of all players in NBA history, LeBron James has faced them. I think we got to keep this in mind. The NBA has expanded by leaps and bounds. We have more teams. There are more players that have come down the pipe. The man has now been playing for, we can now officially say it, his career started in 2003. It's 2024. That's 21 years of LeBron James. Is it a shock to say? I mean, at one point in time, the league had like 8 teams. So that's a wild stat. I don't know who sat around and thought of it. I know the media departments can really go crazy. Whoever found that stat, give him a raise and show us the evidence. Show us the numbers. Show us the stats. But like I said, I think a big portion of that is obviously his longevity. And then the other element is the fact that, hey, in all 77 years of the league, we ain't have all these damn teams running around. 35% LeBron James played against 35% of all players in NBA history. Wild stuff. Hey, we got Marco Belletti here in the news room, Ryan.
Yep.
Yo, bro, did you heard the stat I just said, right?
I did, and it sounds mind-blowing. I do want to say one thing, though, and I don't know if the same guy is still working. Do me a favor for us to get a little bit of, I don't know, perspective. Get me the percentage that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played against in NBA history.
Oh, my God.
Because then I get a perspective. If you're telling me he faced like 12% in all the years that he played, or he faced 31%, just so I know if it's anybody that played for 20 years, roughly, or if this is just as mind-blowing as it sounds.
I think it's mind-blowing, man.
I think it's the latter, too, because I think you mentioned it with the more teams, more players. I think that we also, as years go on, you have a tendency to, I mean, we're 15 guys on the bench. I feel like there's more turnover. We don't have as many guys that were, you know, 14th on the bench for 9 years in the NBA. I feel like the NBA is a little quicker to pull the plug. You know what I mean? So I think it's
back,
more.
I pulled to just arbitrary year, right? I went to 1980. There were 23 teams. And so since then, we've added another 7. There's 7 more teams. So, I mean, they're going to be less players. Like you said, there's no up and down on G League and this and that. And so that probably accounts, as to why LeBron, and this still sounds crazy to say, has played against 35% of the NBA, like in its entire existence. That just now, you know. One thing that has really been highlighted over the past couple of years with LeBron to highlight his longevity are all of the father-son combinations that he's now played against. For instance, off the top of my head, the first one that comes to mind is like Kenyon Martin, right? Who else has a kid playing running around? I'm trying to think. There's like 5 or 6 guys that he's played against I played against your daddy. And I played against you. And this now takes it to another level, 35% of the NBA.
I want to know the guy that's going to bring that to his attention postgame when he's sitting at his locker. I want to hear his response to this.
I hope it's not the same Spanish dude who rolled up to him and asked him about Ricky Rubio.
I hope so. Especially after a loss today, that'd be tremendous. Yeah.
After a loss, maybe a glass of wine sitting there with no shirt on, I want to hear the response from LeBron James when you tell him he's played against 35% of the entire NBA history. I want to hear that.
So typically, LeBron James knows everything about everything when it comes to basketball. That would be the one stat that he would not be familiar with, right? He wouldn't know that.
You think? Oh, I don't know. I think he would tell you he would know that for sure.
And what's he going to do? He going to start naming names?
You know what? It's LeBron, man. It depends on what What mood you get him in? It wouldn't shock me. Of course I know that. And I know that this thing and that thing, and who knows? Who knows?
Well, you know what? It is very impressive how LeBron James, you can ask him, and this has been on record. You can ask LeBron James about the third play in the second quarter, and he's going to break it down to you. It's just crazy. It just goes on and on. And so here's another one. This might be a little bit more closer. And these are answers that we ain't going to get the questions to because I ain't nerd enough for it. If LeBron James has played against 35% of the entire NBA all time, where does Vince Carter fit in this? You know, similar time frame, a similar space where the NBA was already at 30 teams. Mm. So you would think he's played against, what, a quarter of the league? Or maybe not. He was always hurt. There you go. I think I answered my own question there. And sorry, Vince. He'll be mad at me. Anyway, congratulations.
Does Udonis Haslam count? That was, what, 20 years?
No, you got to play, Ron. You got to play. You can't
be on the bench. Well, do you have to play? I mean, you were involved in the game. You're active. I don't think you actually have to step foot on the floor.
Oh, now we get
into technicalities,
now you
can
see, you know? He has seen 25% of the league. He may not play against him. I have seen him. Well, but it's also, in person.
I'm going to go by the same fact of like 35% of the league. I don't think all those guys got on the floor. I mean, if you're 14th on the bench, 15th on the bench, you probably didn't play in the game against LeBron, but you were there. You had a good courtside seat.
It says played against. Yeah, play.
That's vague. That's vague. You're getting played? A check for the NBA. You didn't have to actually see the floor.
I think if you're playing in a game, you got to get off the bench and get on the floor.
That includes, you know, DMP coach's decision? Really? I don't know.
That's not playing. It's being available. DNP did not play. How are we going to call DNP you play? No, dude did not play.
I don't know. I feel like if you got the shorts on, doesn't mean you had to bust off the, the pullaways. That doesn't mean you had to put the actual real shorts on. You could have sat in the, in the breakaways.
If I was really, really interested and invested, I would reach out to somebody at ESPN ABC, and I want to know the particulars of this stat. And then I'd be down the nerd wormhole. I'm going to stick with playing. LeBron James on the court with these individuals. Either way, ridiculous stat. That's nutty. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number before we roll out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What a busy, busy night it's been. Busy day. Mike McCarthy is going to be sticking around as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Pascal Siakam now moves from the Toronto Raptors. He's now a member of the Indiana Pacers. We found out today, unfortunately, Jim Irsay, that medical episode that he was hospitalized for last year, according to TMZ and police records, that he overdosed. We learned that Jim Dolan of the New York Knicks and the Rangers, the owner, that he has been accused of sexual assault. Jim Harbaugh, around this time last night, we learned that Jim Harbaugh, he went and had himself an interview with the Atlanta Falcons. We talked about the Bills and the Chiefs. I gave you a new top six list tonight, looking at the best head coaching jobs available in the NFL. There's seven jobs available. I think the Falcons are probably the best job. And the worst I'd run from, I would say, the man who throws water or drinks on his own patrons. Maybe it's not patrons, the guests, but it's David Tepper. I mean, the Carolina Panthers look like a disaster from the top down. We learned that Jason Kelce may not retire. We heard from Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots. And before we roll out, I certainly want to talk to you. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Parker. Parker is calling from Wisconsin. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Parker?
Good evening, JR. How are you?
I'm excellent. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just calling with a couple takes for you. First of all, a message for the Cowboy fans out there. You're going to need to sit down, take a deep breath, and get your head straight because you're in for a long haul this next season. Here in Green Bay, we can feel your pain. Your team is going to be good. He's gonna take you to a spot where you feel like you got things going in the right direction. And when it comes to a time when it counts, that man is gonna leave you guys hanging. We've sat through a numerous scenarios like what happened to the Cowboys on this past weekend. And,
well, I'll tell you this, Parker. It feels like they've already experienced it, so I think they feel it already.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a long ride, so they got to buckle up and hang on tight. And the second thing I have for you is obviously there's a lot of buzz around Green Bay with the team and the way they're rolling right now, and the fact that we're even sitting here talking about Green Bay playing the divisional rounds is just crazy because I'm a fortunate individual who gets to go to the Packer games at Lambeau, and I sat and watched some bad football this year. But in the conversations I've had with people, like what makes that team play like they did against the Cowboys? And we went back to the home opener against the Saints. We were just getting shellacked. And for three quarters, we scored nothing. And they were just having their way with us. And then it's almost like they were playing with no pressure, nothing to lose. They just let loose. And it was probably one of the more fun quarters of football I've sat through, and they pulled out an 18-17 victory. And when we were, my friends and I are talking about it,
Parker,
it's when they play with no pressure, with nothing to lose, they play loose. And
well,
that's where this is at.
This is what happens. Enjoy the rest of the ride, Parker. Thank you for calling from Wisconsin. This is the reality. It ain't got no pressure, but now the pressure is going to start to mount every round and every win and every victory. The pressure is going to mount. You know, people are paying attention to him. People are looking at Jordan Love and finally saying, this guy did what? He's second in the league in touchdowns. He had what? 18 to finish the year. Like the pressure starts to mount. With expectations comes pressure, and let's see how they continue to roll. I think they might be running into a steam engine here with the 49ers, or maybe the 49ers will start off slow, you know, having a little too much time off. Wild ride. We got plenty of time to talk about it. We'll get more into the divisional round matchups over the next two nights. I do want to mention this on the college football side before we roll out and get out of here. You might have heard with all the coaching changes going around, yeah, a lot of them have to do with the NFL. Alabama has a new head coach, and that's Kalen DeBoer. And what we've had over the past few days are multiple players and commits say, I'm not staying. And so now we've reached a point where Alabama has to let everybody know we still have confidence in the amount of players and recruits that we can bring in. Someone who is very concerned about this is Paul Feinbaum. This is what he told the Matt Barry Show.
The one thing you're already noticing is, are there sharks in the water? Yeah. I mean, and these aren't just great white. These are great white serial killer sharks. And they go by the name of Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, Brian Kelly. So, yeah, I mean, that's really the problem. And that's the one thing that you don't get a chance. Well, as you're flying across the country Friday, which is about 5.5 hours from Seattle to Tuscaloosa, your program is under assault, and there's nothing you can do about it from 38,000 feet. And that's really how he landed. And I think he'll figure it out. But before he figures it out, he's already lost his probably most valuable coach, Tavarius Robinson. Great recruiter, great coach. He's already gone to Georgia. He's lost 5 or 6 players in the portal.
It's serial. I like how he called the opposing head coaches serial killer sharks. So what does that mean, Ryan? They have like a habit? Like what are they doing?
I mean, I guess a lot of killing, right? According to Paul, I mean, the great white shark is deadly and a serial killer obviously is very deadly. You put the two together.
Boy. Yeah. But isn't a serial killer, don't they have to make they do serial killings. Like there's a pattern, like a phone book killer, right?
Right. Leave a mark, some sort of killing pattern,
et
cetera. Maybe the pattern is we're just going to go raid Alabama players and every single person is going to go take. Maybe that's the pattern.
Oh, yeah. You know, I need to go back to school and maybe pick up a degree in criminal justice. Either way, Deontay Lawson, starting linebacker, said, we've had guys leave. We wish them well. That doesn't change the standard at Alabama or our belief that Coach DeBoer is going to lead us where we want to be, winning championships. Man, I think you might be in the NFL the next time Alabama sees a championship. But what do I know? There's no guarantee there. This is just more of an evening of the playing field. Because if you haven't learned by now, folks, nothing lasts forever. Mike McCarthy's hoping that, well, that job won't last forever either. He'll probably stick around for a year, and Jerry Jones will give him the boot. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much to Ryan Hickey holding it down in New York City. Thank you to you for listening. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio is a wrap. If you missed a minute, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. But don't move here on CBS Sports Radio. I like this guy. Coming up next, yeah, it's David Shepard. I like Shep. Thank you, Ryan.